Welcome to another episode of Obsessed with Death. Thank you so much for continuing to support and listen to the podcast. It is 11:45 p.m. I said this episode was going to drop at midnight on Monday, so here we are, dropping at midnight on Monday. Recording the intro 15 minutes before I'm supposed to put it out. I was in bed. I was ready to go to sleep, and I was laying there, and I went, I think a podcast was supposed to go out tomorrow, so I'm like half asleep, but we're doing this. I don't need to tell you any of this, but it's staying in. Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast. This episode was super fun and a little different than what we normally do. The first ever returning guest, I believe, Megan Herbst. She is a researcher and writer at Wired Magazine. She writes about all the cool stuff, science stuff, and she's awesome. We did an episode earlier, towards the end of last year, about flesh-eating bacteria and climate change and basically how we're just going to end up underwater and bacteria is going to form and kill us. So that was a super fun episode. And I was like, hey, why don't you come back on? I really want to talk about how terrifying space is and how I'm scared of asteroids and that you think we're safe and that NASA's protecting us. But sometimes you realize they have no idea. And there's like all these asteroids flying around that up until this past year, we didn't even know existed because it was being blocked by the sunlight from the sun. And a new telescope accidentally caught it, and they're like, oh, cool, those are like world-ending asteroids. Anyway, really fun episode. We talk about asteroids killing all of us and the planet. We talk about space travel and the idea of traveling, space tourism. We talk about what's out there. Is it just us? Were there civilizations in the past that have died off? Maybe at some point we weren't the only ones and there was others, but they basically destroyed themselves like we're working on. So really fun episode. it feels weird to be like really fun episode after I say all of that, but I don't know. I thought it was really fun. I think it's interesting. Space is terrifying and there's so much death related content to be discussed when talking about outer space and outer space coming towards us. I hope you enjoy this episode. Maybe tell a friend and enjoy another episode of Obsessed with Death. All right. Well, I guess we'll just get into it. First of all, thank you for coming back on the podcast. I believe you are the first repeat guest.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm honored and really happy to be back. It was fun to talk about, climate change and flesh-eating bacteria and everything last time. So I'm really excited for this new terrain we're getting into.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. I'm very excited to get into it. I was actually talking to a friend at dinner last night. I was telling them how I was going to record this episode today. And I mentioned the flesh-eating bacteria episode that we did. And I was just sort of explaining like how these things are created, like through these hurricanes and the sitting water and all of this. And it was really just like a mood killer to dinner. So
I'm glad I could bring that to your, friends at dinner.
Hey, I did a whole podcast about it. So, for anyone listening, maybe don't bring it up in the middle of a fun dinner with your friends, but, we'll figure it out next time. We have dinner. I'll tell them about this and how there's planet killer asteroids that we have no way of tracking.
Yeah. Anytime you need new dinner conversation, just hit me up.
Will do. All right. So this episode, the idea is outer space is terrifying And there's constantly there's things from space, rocks and dust and all kinds of stuff that are constantly just being hurled towards our planet. And it's te that just that's terrifying. But the idea that there's all these quote unquote planet killer asteroids out there is something that's really scary. So we were sort of chatting, obviously, before the episode, about this first article that I wanted to bring up, where the headline is "Planet Killer Asteroid Spotted Hiding in the Sun's Glare," which is just a terrifying headline.
It is, yeah. And the fact that there were these three pretty large asteroids sitting in the sun's glare that we just weren't able to see before this telescope down in Chile was able to see them is pretty insane to me. So this was news to me when you let me know about it.
Yeah, I did break the news to this one, which I am sorry about, but it's just the idea that you just assume that like NASA and all of these people like have everything under control, right? You just I at least I just assume that they know what's going on and they're paying attention, and we're gonna get into this in a little bit too, but they literally shot an asteroid in the middle of space with the I think it was the DART mission.
Yes.
So you see stuff like that, and I want to talk about that in a little bit, but you see stuff like that and you're like, oh man, these guys, they're on top of it, like we're good. And then you read an article that says basically the glare of the sun was the only reason they had no idea that all of these asteroids were around. And it just makes me think, what else aren't they aware of, and what else is constantly lurking around us that could wipe out our planet immediately?
Yeah, you think, these are the same people who put a man on the moon before we had home computers. So you think
Yes.
that thing's locked down, but in actuality, it's actually a really tricky thing to see into the sun's glare and to see
Sure.
anything that's lurking, in between here and the sun, which was, news to me as well.
And I get that I understand. I've looked at the sun before. I'm aware of what a glare can do. I get it. You just don't think about it in terms of like space, right? You just think that it's just so vast and open that you would assume they could see everything going on, but that's just not the case. And I don't like it. It just makes me think. And I guess I don't know what there's nothing we could do about it. So you would just go, well, why would I worry about something I have no control over? But it's just the idea is just so consuming to me that there's just so much happening out there. And I want to talk about that too, but there's just so much going on out there that is absolutely terrifying, and we have no control over it. And all it takes is one giant rock, and we're all just done for.
And I think that they mentioned somewhere in that article that it's only about 90% of these near Earth objects that we've actually identified. They think there are, a full 10% that we don't really know anything about. We don't know where they
Yeah.
are. We don't know how big they are. We don't know if they're on intercepting course with Earth. So that's another sort of
Yeah,
terrifying
that's also terrifying.
thought.
Yeah, so you mentioned that there was a very specific telescope that they used that they were able to like it was like well, there was like an eclipse. Is that how they were able to get a look at that
They
specific?
actually waited until twilight hours. So just for about 20 minutes a day, I guess, is their time that they're able to
Got
use
it.
this telescope to look through the Earth's atmosphere at this very small, area where they can see our inner solar system without the oppressive glare of the sun to block out everything in their path.
Yeah.
And so when you only have 20 minutes a day, it's really hard to, keep track and see everything. And I guess because this particular telescope had such a wide field, they were able to see in a lot more detail than they typically are. And so that's why they were able to start picking up on these new objects, like the three asteroids that they identified.
Got it.
But what is kind of hopeful and interesting is that they are planning a new telescope that will actually be launched into space. And that will use kind of an infrared telescope lens and be able to see a lot more objects. And they're hoping with that that they can identify about two-thirds of all the remaining objects they haven't identified yet.
Okay, we'll see. I didn't know that. That's very exciting and so
Yeah.
crazy that like we could do stuff like that now.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully that one they are planning to launch by 2028. So we shouldn't have to wait too long. And hopefully we will not be taken up by a large asteroid in the meantime.
All right, so yeah, about a little under 5 years. As long as nothing happens in those 5 years, I'll feel a little bit more safe once they
We're
put
good.
that out there. But then, so okay, all of that's great. It's so good to like be aware, obviously, of what's going on. Even if you know there it's we magically stumble upon planet killers every once in a while. That's fine. But the next thing, obviously, is what happens when we're observing something and we realize that it's actually coming towards us, and like that's it's going to hit us. Like we're able to monitor it, but it's like then what do we do next, right? And so they basically tested, this was the first time that they've ever done anything like this, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was.
The DART mission, you probably feel free to speak on that. I only know bits and pieces. I watched the video while it was actually happening,
Yeah.
but yeah, I would love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, and same here. I also watched the video live,
Yeah.
which was really cool to watch.
So
Just
cool.
in the last few seconds, you kind of saw that asteroid get bigger and bigger, and
Yeah.
just this great
Crazy.
point,
If
you know.
you haven't watched it, definitely go find that video, and
Yeah,
watch because it's
absolutely.
amazing.
And so they were able to impact this asteroid and actually slow down its orbit by about 33 minutes, which, you know, makes it's not on any sort of course with Earth. It's just rotating, orbiting around another asteroid in the asteroid belt, very far away from Earth. And but the cool thing is that they were able to alter its trajectory at all and basically prove their theory that they could do this with a relatively small kinetic impact. And so they published a little bit more of their data back in March, and estimated that if we were to find an asteroid that was on a collision course with Earth, we'd need a couple of years of lead time to be able to plan a mission to kind of alter the trajectory of that asteroid with this method. So it's still not full proof. If we were
Yeah.
to find something tomorrow that's going to be here in 6 months, we might still be a little bit out of luck.
Oh yeah. We're yeah. Okay. And that's understandable. The fact that they were able to do all of that is of course incredible and you know, blows my mind that people that there's just humans on this planet that could figure all of that out and do that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But that also sucks that yeah, it's like we can't just if we spot one coming at us, you know, we it's like a week away, there's nothing we could do about it. But I guess they are still keeping an eye on things, so you know, I don't know what that looks like in terms of if they could predict what could possibly hit us years from now. But yeah, I guess what's stopping them from being able to speed up that process, like just being able to like build these machines that they're shooting into space, or is it like a
Yeah, I'm guessing that it's something to do with mission planning time and
like, shouldn't we just be making a bunch of
that.
them and
Right. That
just
would seem like to be the proactive way to handle this.
yeah, let's just make a bunch. You know, I'll put a couple of extra bucks in my taxes, you know, whatever it takes, and just build like 10 of them and just
Ready to
have them
go.
ready. Yeah.
That does seem like a smart idea. I
I
wonder,
mean, yeah.
maybe they're doing it on the down low. We just don't know about it.
I hope so. I
I
hope most of my taxes are going towards building machines to take out asteroids, or at least to take them off course. Because, yeah, I mean, I guess it all is maybe relative and sort of depends on, you know, the odds of it actually happening. So it's like, yeah, well, maybe we make these, and then, you know, by the time we actually need to do something like that, you know, who knows how long that's going to be. So I get that, but in my mind, it's like, let's just be prepared. Let's just build a bunch and just line them up. We'll get a hangar, put them in a shed or something, and let's just be prepared.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan to me. I'm on board with that plan.
Okay, cool. I'll be writing a letter to NASA after this podcast, letting them know something I'm sure they've never thought of that,
Yeah,
but
I mean, we're saving the world here with this foresight.
yeah. Yeah, they're very lucky that I'm constantly worried about asteroids crashing into the planet, because now I have all of this great info to tell them. But yes, still incredible. The fact that they were able to do that is so wild. And like you said, you mentioned the moon landing earlier, and it's crazy that we've gone, like, how far we've gone from, 1969 to now. Like, what we're able to do is just kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, definitely. And just it's amazing how much more we know about the universe around us too, just in what we've been able to discover in the past, I guess it would be like 70 years since then now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I read stuff all the time too about now how everyone's, it seems like the big story at least is like, oh, how long until we're like living on Mars, right? That's a pretty big step too. Like, the moment we have like humans living on another planet is going to be pretty wild, and I feel like we might witness that,
Yeah,
right?
that I would love to be able to live long enough to witness that. Like, if I could just be a fly on the wall while we continue to do really cool things in space, that would be, amazing. Of course, it may not actually happen that way, and maybe we won't see Mars in our lifetime, but that would be cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, again, just like the idea of people living on another planet is pretty mind-blowing. And I don't know, I feel like we're on a pretty good path, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff. I mean, it's, I guess, what, it's a couple of years to even get there. I don't know how long it
Yeah.
takes. It's quite the trip, and I would assume that the people that are going to make that trip would probably be told like, hey, this is kind of a one-way trip. There's really no, I mean, unless, you know, they figure out the whole fuel situation on Mars, which I've read a little bit about as well. I think they've talked about, you know, there's possibilities of water and ways of them doing that. But I
Yeah.
would you, if somebody was like, hey, we're taking, even I've seen some stuff where it's like there's all this like tourist travel, space travel kind of stuff, where these guys are like, you know, shooting celebrities and Bezos from Amazon's like going to, you know, flying around the atmosphere or whatever it was. Are you like into it that much? Like, would you do something like that?
Would I go up in one of those little capsules?
Yeah.
I think that I would.
Really?
Yeah,
Wow. You're brave.
maybe like not in the next decade until they really get that technology nailed down. I don't
Yeah.
know if I would go up there with William Shatner,
Is
right
oh,
now.
did he go too?
He did, yeah. That was
Wow.
pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously some of these people have enough faith
Yeah.
in these people to go in it, but I'm with you. I look at it like the same way as like the self-driving cars. I know people who are already taking like the self-driving Ubers and stuff, and I'm just like, it's great. I think it's I love it. I think it's incredible that we could do stuff like that, but people have to die first,
Right.
unfortunately,
Yeah.
before we work out all the kinks on that one. And yeah, I'm not really willing to be like the test dummy for a self-driving car. And you're right, it's the same thing with like any sort of like tourism, space travel type thing. I read an article the other day where they were talking about there's going to be like space hotels where there's just going to be like these, like ships basically that you could like stay on, and it's just going to be like orbiting the planet. And crazy
Interesting.
idea, cool idea, but not for me.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I have far too much anxiety at this stage to sign on to one of those things.
Yeah.
But it does sound like a really interesting idea, and maybe once the, risk factor goes down significantly, I would chance it myself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like anything else, right? I mean, we do dangerous stuff all the time. Even just like driving your car is still very dangerous. But I mean, I like having my feet on the ground. You know what I mean? Even if you necessarily don't in the car, I'm at least behind the wheel. I'm driving the thing, you know? It's the same with flying. Do you like flying?
I also get terrified when flying.
Yeah, I oh my God.
and white knuckle it through
Yeah.
turbulence.
I will apologize to people that I sit next to on the plane because I'll just be like, look, I'm sorry, I'm gonna be a total bummer this entire flight. Like, it's not gonna be fun. I've had strangers buy me drinks because they're just like, dude, you are bumming me out right now. Because yeah, I can't do it. Flying, I mean, I'll do it, but I will not enjoy a single moment of it.
That's funny.
And
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, go ahead.
I was just going to say I did a brief stint actually as a flight attendant in
Oh.
my early 20s, and that was the only time I think I've really been able to overcome that fear of flying because we were just on three, four flights a day. And
Yeah.
at that point, when you're, landing and touch, taking off that many times, it just kind of becomes run of the mill. And suddenly that fear of imminent death kind of lessens and goes away.
Yeah, I guess, that makes sense. You do anything enough, you just sort of get used to it. It becomes normal. And, and then obviously it's like, I know people fly, people that have jobs where they fly every weekend or, but people, obviously there's some million flight attendants. Like it's a normal thing and it is safe. But again, it's like, and it's why I don't think I would ever enjoy any of the space stuff is because it's like a lack of control thing. I want to like be able to have control the steering wheel, and there's just none of that, and especially in space. I mean, can you imagine if you're like in one of these like space hotels and it's just like orbiting the Earth, and then all of a sudden something happens and you just get sucked into space? What a nightmare. I mean, I just the thought of that is like I could never.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me, have you ever heard of or seen the show For All Mankind?
I have not.
They have a very scary space hotel episode.
Oh yeah.
That would be right up your alley.
Who's who, I don't think I've ever even heard of it before. Where do I watch this?
Actually a great show, and it's on Apple TV.
Oh,
And
okay.
it starts back in the 1960s with the moon landing, except for we do not beat Russia to the moon. They make it
Okay.
first. And from there, it's kind of an alternate history. And in many ways, things turn out a lot better for them than they have for us. So it's a really great show, really fascinating.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm gonna watch it this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And apparently there's an entire episode based on a fear I have.
Based on your fears.
You sent me an article that was titled The Great Filter. Or that was what it was about. I don't know. I'm trying to pull it up here. And I was reading through it, and it was really interesting. If you could explain more, I would enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, when you talked about having another podcast about just death in space, this instantly came to mind is all of this stuff about, deaths of entire civilizations and where are other civilizations. So I think to explain this, I might first need to explain the Drake equation. And so the Drake equation was kind of a probabilistic equation put forward by an astrophysicist named Frank Drake back in the 60s. And he had kind of pioneered the first attempt to send signals to space and to receive them from other civilizations. And so he set up this meeting back in 1961 with a bunch of other experts in this in the field, and they sat down and thought about how many potential civilizations with advanced technology could there be in our galaxy. And they set out a number of variables, only one or two of which we know with any certainty. The rest are subject to a lot of interpretation and a lot of different theories. But basically, when it comes down to it, Frank Drake himself, from these numbers, thought that there would be as many as 10,000 different advanced civilizations capable of sending and receiving radio signals in our galaxy right now. And with different estimates, it ranges everywhere from millions of civilizations to we are completely alone. But there, on top of that, there's also this paradox called the Fermi paradox, which is basically if there are all these alien civilizations, where is everybody? Why haven't we heard anything yet? Why hasn't anyone visited us? Of course, some people think that we already have been visited.
I'm one of those people, but
Are
continue.
you?
Oh yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that later.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But so the great filter kind of is a theory about why we might not be hearing from other civilizations out there in space. And that is that there are several filters that any form of life or any civilization goes through that can lead to it basically ending before it has a chance to connect to other civilizations. One of those great filters, a lot of people think might be climate change. They think that other civilizations, when they learn how to harness energy and power things, that they inevitably kind of mess up their own environments and kill themselves off, and that very few of them make it through that stage, and that's why we
Sounds
don't hear about
familiar.
them. Right. We're in the midst of that right now, and
We
still
sure are.
remains to be seen whether we're going to be, we're going to pass through this filter. And then, we don't know because we have a sample size of one whether that filter is really a difficult threshold to get through, or, if it's a relatively easy one, and maybe there are a lot of civilizations that make it through that stage. But we just don't know at this point. Or, maybe nuclear power is developed on other planets as well, and they blow themselves up before they can talk to another civilization. So there are lots of potential filters. One of them just being how difficult it is for life to exist at all in the first place.
I have the article that you sent me, and there is a little bit of they broke it down a little bit. Basically, the fact that just a planet needs to form in like a very specific zone, you know, that could even, that's like the first step, right? Is like if it's not in a very, like the Earth is placed perfectly, you know, like it's if you don't have that, it feels like everything else is just, you know, sort of doomed from that point on, right?
Right.
It is so interesting that you know, this theory basically goes, well, there could be millions or nothing. And it's like, okay, sure, yeah. There could be millions of civilizations, or it could just be us. And I've thought about this before. I think most people have, you know, had the thought. You know, usually it's just like, oh, you know, UFOs and, you know, aliens with big heads or whatever. But I do love the idea of just thinking that there's like other similar planets out there with people, I don't know, somewhat similar to us, just also living, you know, relatively normal lives. Like, I think that, excuse me, I think that is more realistic than spaceships and aliens, but I also don't rule that out either.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
It does seem like though there are so many planets, and it's like it's insane, like the amount of galaxies, and it can't just be us, you would think, right? You're like, how could it just be us? And again, I get the this theory where they're like, there's so much potential, but it's that there's still, of course, that possibility that, I don't know, it happened once and then never again.
Yeah, that would be the more unsettling possibility, I think, for me, that
Yeah.
we're the only ones.
Yeah, it is a bit unsettling. And it's also an interesting theory, as you were discussing there, about the fact that, yeah, maybe there were all these other civilizations, but they just sort of destroyed themselves. You know, that's, of course, a possibility. And then we could also just go right back to planet killer asteroids, and that maybe there were other civilizations, but they were all in certain areas that were, unfortunately, you know, places that were hit by asteroids constantly, and they were just and they were just constantly being wiped out. And or even if there was like a glimpse of life happening, you know, you see like a little leaf pop out of the ground, and then an asteroid just comes and smashes the whole place. You're like, well, you barely had a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, though. It would be, I mean, the idea that there's just all of this out there and it's just silence and nothing. And it's all that really is out there is just these telescopes that we've built and these ships that we've sent out. And it's just, they're just going further and further into just absolutely nothing. Kind of sad.
Yeah, that would be very sad. I think the possibility that there is life out there kind of I don't know, is more reassuring.
Yeah.
Because it's not just us, and maybe other life has learned to do things better than we have.
Well, then they should come and tell us what to do, because
That would
we're
be
fucking shit up.
great. Yeah. Yeah, we need our own version of the Vulcans.
Another theory that I think is interesting, is that maybe they have had a glimpse or an idea of what we're up to or what we're doing or who we are, and they're just like not interested.
Yeah,
You
there's
know, yeah.
definitely that possibility.
Yeah. I mean, look, I live in an apartment complex. I've got neighbors right next to me. I don't talk to them. I don't. I'm not knocking on their door, seeing what they're up to. I mean, I might, if I hear them coming out of the front door at the same time as me, I might wait until they leave before I go outside. You know, so I get it. And I am one of these people who I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I go back and forth on it. I think I just love the idea so much. But you know, I don't know, especially lately, there's been a lot of, you know, UFO type news out there, UAPs, I guess they're calling them now. So, and it's been in the news, and I've watched some interviews with some of these like fighter pilots who have seen some things and interacted with some things, and I understand that a lot of it could just be like technology we're not aware of or whatever that, you know, that whole situation is. But I just like anything else, I think there's a possibility that there could be, you know, something visiting us and monitoring us and watching, and again, getting an idea of who we are and then realizing they want nothing to do with us.
That's certainly possible. And I think there was a astrophysicist recently, Avi Loeb, who has this whole theory that the interstellar object that passed through the solar system a few years ago,
Yeah.
Oumuamua, was actually extraterrestrial in or it was, extraterrestrial intelligence in some form.
Yeah, I saw some stuff about that. It was it, I mean it, the like the recreation drawings that they do, it basically just like looks like a long kind of wide stick almost. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I don't know how I feel about that because of course, yeah, so it came from how would you explain where it came from?
Yeah, they know that it came from outside of the solar system,
Gotcha. Okay.
and it was traveling very fast through our solar system and kind of
That was sort of the first thing that sparked interest, right? Was the speed, the it wasn't
right.
necessarily a normal speed.
Yeah, it was a greater speed than we're used to observing, and also it kind of inter it like interacted directly with the sun, so it came pretty close to the sun and then sped right out of our solar system again.
Wow. Okay.
And Avi Loeb's lays out his entire argument in a book. And I mean, it's an interesting book to read. I do know a lot of other astrophysicists kind of don't think that it holds water. So
Yeah. Yeah.
it's definitely a hotly debated thing in that world.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, okay. Well, I understand that. I don't think there's anything wrong with people disagreeing with him, but I love the fact that like that was sort of his first thought process was like, this could be, I mean, we don't know what technology could look like from, you know, another galaxy or whatever it is. You know, that's just what their technology could look like. And it could be monitoring, you know, looking for life on other planets or checking out the sun. I mean, the sun is an incredible thing. Like, why wouldn't it want to get close to it and see what's going on over there? So yeah, that is super interesting. I mean, that would basically be what I'm saying, right? Is like it flew in, got a look around, and then immediately left.
Nothing to see.
Yeah, it did a quick scan and was like, this is they're not ready. And that's another thing too, right? Like, who knows, you know, how much they could really. And now we're just basically getting into alien podcast territory, which I'm fine with. But they, I don't know. I feel like humans are intelligent, but like people are stupid, you know? I think most people probably couldn't handle it. Like if somebody from like another planet, universe, whatever it is, came down here, people would lose their minds. It would be chaos. At least I think it would be. I don't know.
I think it would change our entire civilization. Like, I
Yeah.
think in ways that we can't even predict, to know that we were not alone.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people aren't even thinking about it either. I think a lot of people are just like they're just living their lives, which is fine. But
agree.
it's just excuse me. Oh boy. It is very, very interesting to me, and it's fun to think about and scary to think about, and just space in general is incredible and terrifying. And I was talking with a friend who he just flew out here from Boston. And he was watching the movie Interstellar on the flight out here. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I think I remember last time we were talking, you hadn't seen it yet. Have you seen it
I
since?
watched it. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, I couldn't stop thinking about it for like 2 weeks. It like consumed me for a chunk of time. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. But just everything about that movie was just like sort of mind blowing and m consuming. Just the thought of everything that goes on. I definitely recommend watching it if you haven't. In a theater too. I was lucky enough to be able to watch it in a theater.
Oh, really? That's
Yeah,
great.
and that made it even better. That's what I told my friend. I was like, he loved it, but I'm like, you gotta watch. You can't watch it on a plane. That's not like a plane movie. But yeah, incredible. One of the best movies I've ever seen. I loved it, but also, I was just like he useless for like 2 weeks after I watched that movie.
I was the same way when I watched it for the first time, and I watched it pretty close to when it came out.
Yeah.
I'd also unfortunately lost my dad
Oh no.
right around the time that he came out. He
Oh.
was the person who'd gotten me into science fiction in the first place, and so the movie hit about 10 times
Oh
harder.
yeah.
Probably useless for a month. But yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, I think, of all time.
Yeah, that's the timing of that is unfortunate, but yeah, I get it. That's got to hit real hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go check out Interstellar if you haven't seen it yet. It's fantastic. All right, cool. Well, let's we could start wrapping up here. We're almost at an hour, which I appreciate you doing.
Oh, yeah.
So how are you feeling? What do you think the odds are? You think we're gonna outlive another like dinosaur type asteroid execution? What do you think's gonna happen?
I think of all the things that could take humanity out, asteroid is probably one of the lower, probabilistically for us
Yeah.
to succumb to.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that I don't, eat my words in 2 weeks when a giant asteroid comes
Yeah, just
sailing.
wait. Yeah, you're gonna turn on the TV and every channel's gonna have the same thing on, and you're gonna be getting an email from me saying, I told you so.
Right before it all goes up in smoke.
Yeah, I'll get the email out. I promise that. Okay, so yeah, low on the list. I'm with you. I understand there's definitely some other things that should be higher up on that list, but I don't know. When you read stuff like glare from the sun, all of a sudden killer asteroids are started popping up. That makes me a little concerned that we're not as prepared as I thought we were. And it also makes me concerned in the fact that there are these things out there lurking that we're not only unaware of, but completely out of our control. Meaning, one second we're doing a podcast, and then the next, the planet's on fire, and we won't. If you do survive, you won't see the sun for 100 years or whatever it is.
The possibility is certainly more, instantaneous and terrifying than a lot of those other, possible doomsday scenarios.
I just know that every time I go outside at night to walk my dog before we go to bed, I look up at the sky and I'm like, it could happen right now. That's just the first thing. I'm like, here it comes. It's coming right now. And it never does. So I guess you might be right. All right. Well, then what's top of your list? I feel like climate change is probably a big one. That one might take us out before an asteroid.
Yeah, I
What
would
do you
say
think's gonna what's like your top three that will wipe out humanity?
probably number one on that list is climate change.
Yeah.
Two would probably be nuclear. No, wait, I'm gonna have to put AI ahead of nuclear war now
Oh
because
my
of the
God.
recent
Yeah.
about all of that.
I just watched this documentary called, I think it's called oh shit, what was it called? the AI dilemma, I think. Did you
Okay.
see
I
that?
haven't seen that.
Oh man, if you're scared of AI, definitely don't watch it. It ruined my day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well
Sounds like
it's
I
a
should watch.
it's yeah, it's basically just an hour long documentary about how incredibly dangerous AI is going to be.
Oh, wow.
They sort of compare it to social media, where it's like, you know, when social media started coming out with like Facebook and Instagram and all these things and, you know, whatever it was, everybody was like, oh, this is like the most amazing thing ever. This is incredible. We're going to be able to be in touch and have better contact with people. And now it's basically just like a dumpster fire. And they're like, yeah, AI is going to be that like times a thousand.
Oh boy.
So yeah, well, so wait, so what was your thought process on making it your number two on the list?
Yeah, just with I know we're not close to general AI yet. We're still
Yeah.
kind of at the large language model stage of AI. But based on how determined a lot of, people in Silicon Valley are
Yeah.
to get to general AI, and the amount of money and resources that they have, I am a little bit more anxious
Sure.
at that prospect than, the prospect of us blowing ourselves up.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah, I think that in the beginning of that documentary there was like a quote that they were like, I th it was like 50% of like AI professionals believe that there's like a 10% chance that AI could just wipe out humanity.
I heard that same statistic as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, the when the experts working on this field feel that way.
Yeah, like the head of like AI at Google
Else?
just quit. He's like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Scary
Right.
stuff. Yeah. Although, see, and then, and you're right, we're not really there yet, but the potential is obviously there, and it's we're moving in that direction. I read another article a few months ago, maybe, where the military was like testing this like AI robot, like a human size
Oh, wow.
robot. And I mean, have you seen any of those like Boston Dynamics videos of like the robots
Yes.
dancing and stuff?
Right. Spot the dog robot.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, so it was something similar, I think, in that aspect, but it was like a military training, and the goal what of the training was to try and get past this AI bot, like to try and sneak past it, and like nobody could get past the bot, like it was, you know, it was able to detect everybody, and then a guy f grabbed like an empty box and he just put it over his head and walked right by it because it was like, oh, that's a box. Like
So
that's not a person.
you're telling me boxes are going to save us from Terminator.
So yeah, when it all goes down, oh God, when it all goes down, get yourself like a head to IKEA and just get the biggest box you could find, and you should be good because it'll just assume that you're an empty box.
I think I'm going to get into the box business now.
Yeah, I mean it, that might be a smart business model right there. Is you just like do you want to live during the alien AI apocalypse? Get yourself this full body box for full protection. So yeah, I read stuff like that and I'm like, okay, that's fine. That makes me a little less nervous, but of course you're going to figure that out. But when you're I guess when you're making AI robots for the military, you just don't think, oh yeah, I guess they could just put a box on their head.
That's not a normal tactical move.
No, but yeah, it worked. So
Well, all right.
yeah, so okay, yeah, I'm with you. Weather or climate change for sure. Weather specifically, like hurricanes and tsunamis and all that shit, that's really gonna do us in. AI is terrifying, and then you're what, number three, you're going nuclear attack. We just blow ourselves up.
I would put that third, I believe, just slightly ahead of asteroids.
Oh, okay. So asteroids is at least in your top five.
Yeah, I would say so. I still gotta believe that humanity has enough sense to not just kill itself intentionally,
Sure.
but
Yeah, you would assume that we wouldn't do that, but I mean, the scary part is we already made the thing that could do it. That's what scares
right.
me. But yeah, I'm with you. I think you'd hope that there's one guy who just won't push the button, you know?
Right. or will do, you know, whatever it takes to stop the button being pushed.
Yeah, you hope. Fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah,
All right, well, this was really fun. I really like
it
having you on the
was.
podcast. I'm glad you came back on. Still 100% terrified of asteroids, and we'll think about it constantly. But I feel like this conversation at least made me realize that, again, there's nothing I could do about it. And we've got a defense system, and I just we got to trust it and hope they know what they're doing. And hopefully there's no more glares from the sun. There's no dark
Right.
blank spot, dark spots. I don't know what you want to call it. But let's
Maybe
hope that was the only one.
if it could turn off the lights for just a few seconds so we could see in
Yeah.
it, that would be
Maybe like
great.
throw a blanket over the sun for just like a minute so we could see what's going on. That would be great. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. This was really fun. And I feel like there's gonna be another topic death related that we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna get you back on again at some point. This is really fun.
Thank you so much for having me.